Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
And welcome back to Mediocrity Podcast, where the show is just okay. Well, we might be a little better than okay, we might be a little worse than okay, but we're fine. We're doing fine, right? We're over 50 episodes into Mediocrity. We can find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. I'm Brian Kluger, and we have a wonderful show for you today. As always, the lovely two bearded men, Jonathan Atterbury and Jeremy Maggart, joining me. Jeremy, how are you doing this week so far?
I'm great, man. How about you?
Doing very well. What's the latest in your world?
Oh, latest in my world. John and I have been checking out the EA Access on the Xbox, and we have been thoroughly enjoying some Battlefield 1. And once John gets all settled in and gets his interwebs and consoles hooked up, we're going to play some Titanfall.
Oh, so what's EA Pass again?
It's $5 a month or $30 for 1 year, and it basically gets you access, as is in the name, to the EA Vault, which is like all of their video games, and they gradually add on the newer ones.
So basically, if I pay $30 a year, I can play any EA game I want to?
Just about.
Oh, badass. And do you have to download it, or do you just go into their system and play it?
You could just sign up for it straight off of your Xbox, and then you download the game, and then you're good to go.
And you don't have to pay for the game?
Nope. You don't get to keep the game if you turn off your subscription. Like, you don't own the game. You just basically get to play it without fully buying it.
All right. Well, that's kind of cool. So, Jonathan, I take it you have the EA Pass as well?
I sure do.
Does that include Star Wars?
It includes Star Wars Battlefront. Yep, the first one.
Because mostly EA, and a lot of EA is sports games, right?
Yeah, quite a bit of it. They have a lot of sports games. They have most of the BioWare stuff. Most of the your recent, like, 360 forward BioWare stuff. They have, you know, so like you said, sports games, NHL, NBA, soccer, football, stuff like that. A couple, I think they have Need for Speed, maybe one other car game. They have Titanfall 1, Titanfall 2, Battlefield, and all of its subsequent titles.
So I've never played Titanfall. What is Titanfall? Should I get it? Should we all play? What's going on?
Well, so Titanfall is the new hot proprietary shooter for Xbox, right? So it's the one that they released. It was one of the first titles they released with the Xbox One. And I picked that one up when I first got my Xbox One, and it's a really good one. I think it's a incredibly smooth game. I haven't tried the second one yet. Jeremy's been saying good stuff about it, and we're looking forward to playing it. But so the concept is you're basically a pilot of a giant mech, right? And it's, so it's half like Halo, where you're running around as just a dude with a gun, or you know, you choose your loadout, stuff like that. And then it's half Mech Warrior or something like that, where you call in your Titan, and it's shot down from the sky, and you hop in your Titan, and you can just fight other Titans or, you know, other characters with that guy. So it's a shooter, and it's a competitive shooter, but it's a really smooth one. The graphics are top of the line. The matchmaking in the first one was solid. So none of this Friday the 13th kind of bullshit where you're getting booted from games or anything like that. Or, you know, even like Jeremy's been experiencing a lot of issues with the Battlefield 1 multiplayer. So it seems like they, you know, that's one of the things I really like about it, is it just works the way it's supposed to.
Well,
which is increasingly rare these days.
It's weird because you'd think with all the new technology and all these advancements, we would have none of these problems, but that's not the case, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it is weird because if you think back to like early 360 days, we never really had a whole lot of problems with multiplayer matchmaking. It just worked.
Yeah,
it was pretty simple. You just got into a lobby and you went. And nowadays, like, it's getting so much more complicated. you're adding all these new hot features, yet so little of it works right.
Yeah, and nobody's using the hot features. Just make a simple matchmaking game. That's all.
Yeah, just put me in a fucking game where I can play and not get booted. That'd be great.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. So recently I had a friend of a friend over who was a family's friend kid who was how old is he, 8, 7, something like that, and he wanted to play Star Wars Battlefront. So for the first time in a while I put in Star Wars Battlefront, and I forgot how awesome that game was, and we haven't played in a long time, and I feel like the three of us need to Jedi it up and play.
All right.
Yeah, whenever. Let me know.
All right. Good, good. Because I was like, damn, these graphics are good, and this looks fun, and damn it if I don't want to play this again. So it was...
Did you guys see the new advertisement for the space battles for Battlefront 2? It looks pretty good.
It sure does. I'm excited about it, man. I'm really stoked about Battlefront 2. I think we were burned pretty hard by the first one, but as Jeremy and I have found playing Battlefield 1, DICE is more than capable of making a really cool, really rewarding multiplayer game. Yet they beefed it so fucking hard with Battlefront 1. I think Jeremy and I were saying that they really just focused on the wrong stuff. They were laser focused on making it look and sound perfect and right, and they did a great job with that. But it just feels like shit, and there's nothing... There's no fun reward system or anything like that. There's no reason to keep playing it past a certain point.
Yeah,
yeah, I think they were super rushed on it because, like, when the announcement came about, EA basically taking over all of the Star Wars licenses, I mean, I want to say they made that game pretty fast.
Yeah, it's true.
Hmm.
So that may have also been part of it. They didn't have enough time that they should have.
well, I don't know. I just want to play it. I just want to do it. Can we do it? Can we do it? Can we all get it?
Why don't we just turn this off and go play right now?
Okay, good. Well, let's do it. We can play as we're talking. I don't know how well that would go. I'm sure there'll be a lot of curse words.
Unlike usual.
Yes.
No, because we'd be playing the show's an hour and we'd spend 45 minutes on load screens.
Which brings us to that point. Why can't it be easy? And I have to say that Overwatch has got it right. Like, there's no problems really with Overwatch matchmaking. Like, the longest I've ever waited for a matchmaking is like maybe 4 minutes or less. And that's rare. Usually it's within 45 seconds.
To this day, I regret the decision I made to float the Battleborn ship as opposed to the Overwatch ship. I should have known better. I mean, as the Beatles said so well, I should have known better, and I should have gone with the Blizzard game. Blizzard is just one of the best game developers out there, and they have been for a long time, and they do it right.
Yeah, they're really, really good. Highly recommended. Yeah, that's what you should do. If you don't have Overwatch, you really like it. It's really good. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, that's some video game stuff. What am I playing? Overwatch a little bit. Friday 13th. Not in a while. I want to get back into Battlefront so I can get ready for Battlefront 2 with you guys. So I might just dress up as a Jedi and play that game. Fuck it. That'll be fun. All right. What else do we have? We have a lot to talk about today. Let's first start. I think Jeremy has watched this. I don't know about Jonathan yet. I'm sure, Jonathan Atterbury, you were busy moving locations. Are you in North California, South California, Middle California, Alaska? Where are you at?
I am now in the northern coast of California.
Oh, beautiful.
Ooh, it's a beautiful place, man. The weather's glorious.
Oh, glorious. All right, good. I'm glad you're well. I'm glad you're moved. I'm glad you're up and running on the internet. But, Jeremy, the Avengers of the Netflix TV show Marvel characters has finally come. The Defenders. Mm-hmm. And is released on Netflix. You have Daredevil, Jessica Jones. Who else is in this cast?
Luke Cage.
And there's one more.
Iron Fist.
Iron Fist.
The Rainbow Knight.
Right. So this is basically the Avengers for like kind of the smaller characters of Marvel Universe. And is
we can call it the crappy Avengers.
The crappy Avengers, the shitty Avengers, the shitty Beatles and the shitty Avengers. So Jeremy, is it shitty or is it good?
It's good. I enjoyed it.
So
yeah.
Is it slow to start? Is it pick up? Is it what you want from these characters or?
It gets going pretty fast. This show is only 8 episodes as opposed to your previous shows being 13. So they don't waste a lot of time getting things going. They pick up pretty well. They show you where everybody's at. And they pretty quickly get you into having the characters together and like meeting and doing stuff. So and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great.
So with this, do their individual storylines from their previous seasons come into play here? Or is this kind of like a big story arc for their first season and then they're going to split off and do their own season and maybe come back for season 2?
Their story arcs all play into this season, which was nicely written. And then the way it ends, it pretty much leaves you kind of like it's hard to fully give it away without spoiling much, but it kind of looks like it's going to be a fantastic jumping off point into the next Daredevil season and the next Jessica Jones season.
Oh, all right. So who gets the most screen time here?
Man, it's pretty even, honestly.
Okay. All right. Is there anybody you liked better seeing as a team as opposed to in their own show?
Everybody works better. Iron Fist is still annoying for the same reasons that he's kind of annoying in his show. But when you see him in the cast group with all four, the kind of personality that they give him makes a little more sense because he kind of has, like, I for a while couldn't figure out if he was, like, supposed to be intentionally annoying, you know, like where he's kind of like the annoying young Luke Skywalker farm boy just wants to whine about going to Tosche Station for his power converters. But when you see him, like in the group of four, and especially when there's a scene where he's hanging out and the times he's hanging out where it's just him and Luke Cage, the personalities are so different that it kind of like it doesn't make it likable. But it makes more sense for why his character is that way. And it makes it seem that he's intentionally that way, like they wrote it that way, as opposed to it just kind of comes across like that, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Cool. And now, how is the love of my life in the show Sigourney Weaver?
She's awesome, dude.
She's just badass like she is in every other role she's in?
Yes.
Very cool. Very cool. I'm glad she's in this. I'm glad she's part of the Marvel Universe. She's like, she's just a badass. You've got Ghostbusters, you've got Avatar, you've got Alien, now you've got Marvel, and Galaxy Quest. She's just a badass. I love her so much.
Mm-hmm.
She's my number one.
You mean even more than Ash?
Well, it's like her and him, basically.
Okay, gotcha.
If I can have the male and female.
You want to be a Bruce Campbell Sigourney Weaver sandwich.
Yes, I do.
He wants to be the cream filling.
Yes, I do. Oh, I love Sigourney Weaver so much. Well, I'm glad. So she's good in the show. She adds a lot to it and everything.
Oh, yeah.
So is this something, Mr. Atterbury, you're going to be watching or you care less?
I've seen the first 2 episodes.
And?
So far, it fucking sucks.
So why such a big difference in opinion here between you two?
Well, I don't know. I think,
Jeremy says it's really good. He's got it good. In your words, it fucking sucks.
So far, I will say that. So I've noticed that it's almost a guarantee with these Marvel Netflix shows that the first quarter, at least, is going to be a fucking snooze completely. Because they just spent so much time setting up. And it's not like, I don't know, there's something really unsatisfying about the way they've done the last few shows for me. Because they have a lot of setup, but you end up, like, at least me, they do so much setup, but I still don't care about anything that's happening in the show. It all feels so just cliche and throwaway. I mean, like, you know, whatever storyline's happening, whether it's what's going on with Luke Cage or what's going on with Iron Fist, you know, it's just like, I don't care. I just don't care about whatever is going on. Yet they spend so much time setting up these really cliche, boring events. And so, I don't know. It hasn't been satisfying me the way that the first two seasons of Daredevil did. I really liked those. And Jessica Jones was okay. Luke Cage was meh, and then Iron Fist was unbearable. I stopped halfway through Iron Fist, and I just I couldn't watch it. I find the character and the actor to just be completely abhorrible.
So, Jeremy, what do you have to say to our listeners to, like, tell them not to listen to John?
Well,
I'm not going to tell them not to listen to John.
I wouldn't say people shouldn't watch it. If you like that type of show, and if you're into that thing, then yeah, give it a shot. I mean,
John's criticisms are valid, and the show, like, you don't really start getting into like the kind of like meatier action until third or fourth episode. Like, you get some bits of stuff, but in terms of if you want the action, it doesn't pick up until about the third or fourth episode, I think, is when all that stuff kind of gets going. But
yeah, and it's I don't just need the action. I like that stuff, but there's something about it where I just don't connect with the characters very well. I mean, it's funny because like the Daredevil thing is really the only thing that keeps the show going for me. I connect with the actor that plays Daredevil and that whole world, you know, with Foggy and all that stuff. I like that world they built. But everything else just seems so kind of canned. It just doesn't work for me. So whenever anyone dies or is in a perilous situation, it's just a big meh. And the action is pretty meh for the most part, too. I just can't believe anything Finn Jones does as a kung fu master. It just doesn't work for me at all.
I agree with that. And the good thing about this season is they changed up a lot of his fighting. Like when they did the Iron Fist season and he was like real floaty and was like kind of pushing people off balance, like you really didn't get the punches and the kicks and stuff.
Right.
This season they abandoned the floaty like weight stuff, and it's just full on like, okay, kung fu punches and kicks.
Yep.
So that was definitely good. And the thing about this is the first season, it looks like Finn Jones, you know, trained for probably 3 or 4 months, working out for maybe 30 minutes a day, doing some kung fu. And so, you know, when he's like swinging nunchucks, it looks like about like what would happen if one of us was decided to swing nunchucks one day.
I feel like we need to film this. All of us doing nunchucks.
I will not do that. I saw what happened to the lightsaber kid in the early 2000s.
He became famous.
For all the wrong reasons, man.
Or all the right reasons.
There you go.
He just loved him some Star Wars.
Yeah. Can't a guy just film himself doing some sweet lightsaber moves? Oh my god.
That poor bastard. He's like in his late 30s now. That's the crazy thing. I wonder if he's improved his lightsaber game.
I don't know. Well, I know he's like a successful business guy, I think, if I remember reading right, because they did an article about him. And like, I guess he was bullied after that and he like went to therapy about it. But like, he's successful now. Like, he's a successful dude.
I would really like to interview him on this show.
Well, see, it'd be so awesome.
He needs to film a sequel.
He does. The Attack of the Clones.
If I was him and that was already out there, man, I would be doing a new one like every 5 years.
The sweet lightsaber.
He needs to be doing like anniversary lightsaber stuff.
That would be awesome. That would be really cool. We're just totally everything comes back. Everything comes back to Star Wars. Oh, we need to have a lightsaber fight. My God, the nerdery's coming out. So Defenders, check it out. It's on Netflix. I mean,
have you watched it yet, Kluger?
I've only seen the first episode, and I like the first episode. I'm,
Did you? You're shrugging a lot when you say that.
No, I liked the first episode. It's not.
And there's a question on the. I liked the first episode.
I liked the first.
And a lot for those who can't see him, a lot of shoulder shrugging is. Oh, I liked it.
Ted's turned to the side. He's like looking at the ceiling. Like
I've only seen the first episode. I can't. It's not. It doesn't fucking suck. I'm not going to say that.
But is it?
It's worth watching, yes.
Is it? I don't know. I'm not convinced on that yet.
I need to watch the whole series.
All right. I have to make an observation. I have to make an observation that is questionable to make. But God. I think it has to be mentioned.
Okay.
So I've noticed something that I think is really kind of off kilter about the Defenders so far.
Okay.
Which is that when Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, and Daredevil are on screen, they play a score. When Luke Cage is on screen, they exclusively play rap/hip-hop music. I think that's a little weird. Now, I get it because in his show, that's what the soundtrack is for the most part. They have an abundance of that music in his show. So I get that, but it's a little weird when it's a show with a bunch of people, and when it's all the white people, it's completely just a score. Yet when the one black dude's on screen, they have to play the rap and hip hop music. It feels a little weird, a little forced, and even a little racist. It seems a little weird to me.
Maybe that's for blind people who just want to hear who's on screen.
Like, so, oh, I don't even have to hear the voice. I know that it's a Luke Cage scene because they're playing rap music now.
Maybe. I don't know.
Did you notice that, Jeremy? Did you think that felt weird at all?
It wasn't something I picked on with that. They do some weird stuff with the music on the show. Like when you get later in there, when there are group fight scenes, they will just all of a sudden kick on the music and it will be... Typically, they'll go like with the more hip hop oriented stuff for the fight scenes. And that actually does seem a little bit out of place because it will just kind of seem out of nowhere. All of a sudden the music is playing.
Right.
But I did not notice it in the terms. So are you talking about like just like dialogue stuff, like when they kick into a new scene or what?
Yeah, like, so what I've noticed so far is pretty much every time Luke Cage, they switch to a Luke Cage scene, because they've got, the way they've kind of set up the show from what I can tell so far is that they haven't really introduced all the characters a whole lot yet. So they show you an Iron Fist scene, they show you a Daredevil scene, they show you a Jessica Jones scene, and they show you a Luke Cage scene, and it'll be a hard stop, because it'll just be a pretty subdued score. And then all of a sudden, boom, it's a Luke Cage scene, and it's just a song. It's not a score. It's a actual, rap song or something along those lines. And that's when it starts, because every time I was just like, wow, it feels so out of place. It's not a smooth transition from one piece of music to another. And then I was like, wow, they're literally doing this every single time Luke Cage gets on screen. And then they just kind of stuck with that so far.
And it's funny when you think about it, when you watch that show, because it kind of makes a Luke Cage scene stand out like that. But in terms of just physical presence on the screen, he's got better presence than all of the other actors, hands down.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the guy's name is Mike Coulter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he may be my favorite of the actors on the show. I think he's a really good actor. I think the character he portrays is awesome. And it's just a little weird with the score thing. It just made it feel kind of ill-fitted, it just didn't feel right.
I'll rewatch it, and I'll look for that and see if I notice.
Yeah.
Kluger, you watch it the first time and see if you notice.
All right, I will. And I'll make a comment. I'll be like, Atterbury was right. You get this orchestral score with the Defenders, and then when Luke Cage pops in, it's like Shaft.
That's exactly what it feels like. It feels like they're going from just a normal superhero type movie to all of a sudden you feel like you're watching, Black Dynamite.
Oh, well, we'll see.
You just sold Kluger.
You did sell
which is
me.
which is a true film classic.
It is definitely. Well, sweet. Well, so Sea Defenders, it's worth seeing. We got John and I have to watch the whole season.
Jury's out on whether it's worth it or not, but we'll see. Jeremy says it's worth it.
No.
But I will say that there, Jeremy and I do have slightly different tastes when it comes to especially superhero shows. Jeremy, you know, likes shows like The Flash and stuff like that. And for whatever reason, I seem to be wrong because everyone in our world seems to love The Flash show. And I can't stand it. For whatever reason, it just doesn't work for me. I've tried watching a few different episodes and it just bothers the hell out of me.
Hmm.
So I may be the odd duck out here. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Well, no. We'll,
it's
we'll
just like Samuel L. Jackson says in A Long Kiss Goodnight. It's a duck, not a dick.
I like that he's quoting A Long Kiss Goodnight. What a deep cut.
It's a damn good movie, man. Damn good movie.
I'm sorry. That's the greatest Samuel L. Jackson line of all time.
Oh.
That is a... I don't know, man. I think we might have to go with a line from Pulp Fiction for greatest Samuel L. Jackson line.
I don't know.
It's a duck, not a dick.
Yeah, that Long Kiss Goodnight. One of the coolest scenes with Samuel L. Jackson is in that movie, too. He's riding in the car. He's riding passenger side with Gina Davis. And, like, she just, like, literally throws him out of the car in the middle of the street. And what does he do? He just lays there in the middle of the street smoking a cigarette, and she gets him again. He's a badass. Oh, God.
Oh, Lord. I saw Hitman's Bodyguard this weekend.
Oh, okay. So Hitman's Bodyguard, which is basically Deadpool and Jules from Pulp Fiction, together in a crazy cartoony action film. Was it fun? Was it ridiculous? Was it a lot of motherfuckers? Did it break the fourth wall?
I don't remember it breaking the fourth wall. There were all the motherfuckers you want in that movie. It is exactly what you think it is. Like, it is as advertised. You were never going to go into that movie and be like, oh, I totally didn't think that was going to happen. Who knew? But, man, it's fun. It's a great time.
So action, cartoony comedy where, like, 100 people are trying to kill Sam Jackson and they can't shoot him to save their lives, but he can throw a rock and hit one guy bullseye, right?
I think he gets shot a couple times.
Okay. All right. But it's fun, and does Ryan Reynolds play the straight-laced guy, right?
Yeah, for the most part.
All right. But worth it? Fun? Good stuff?
Definitely.
Cool. Speaking of, we're on the subject. I just got a new press release. Stars, the network Stars, is going to be adapting the book series Black Samurai, which is going to star the actor and rapper Common, and is going to be produced by the RZA from Wu-Tang and Jerry Bruckheimer. It's going to follow a guy named Robert Sand, played by Common, who is an army ranger, whose life is transformed when he meets a legendary Japanese master and invites him to train as a samurai. And then people kill his, some bad guys kill his master, and Common has to go out for revenge. So.
Oh my God, that sounds so good.
Black Dynamite. So ready. It's like Black Dynamite.
Common is the perfect choice for that.
Well, oh, he's absolutely the perfect choice.
Well, Common showed his fighting skills in John Wick 2, and he was a badass. And I guess back in 1970...
Well, didn't he show his fighting skills back in Smoke and Aces a long time ago?
Yeah, but not like John Wick 2, though.
It's different. I mean, but he showed that he could be a convincing action star in Smoke and Aces, I guess.
Right. But I guess this was like a very low-budget 1977 blaxploitation film from the 70s. So they're doing it. I guess they're going to give it a TV series on Stars, which is awesome. But I'm liking
this. That sounds great, man.
Yeah, because we were talking about, you know, like Defenders and Fighting and Luke Cage, and now Black Dynamite was mentioned. Now it seems like these studios are listening to our podcast when they're talking, and they release this news, and I'm very excited.
They're listening to our podcast before it's even done recording.
That's true. They just know. The computers and phones are listening, my friend. They are. But yeah, I'm happy about this. I'm glad because we're going to get some awesome music from the RZA. Jerry Bruckheimer has always proved he can do a fun action film. And Common, I mean, we're basically going to get probably a more serious Black Dynamite in TV show form, which I'm very excited about.
Count me in.
Count me in, sir. All right.
Kluger says they're listening. I like to assume it's just the NSA listening, and then right after whatever it is we're talking about, it's just them arguing about whether or not Defenders is good.
God, I hope so.
While they're looking at everyone's dick pics across the country.
Oh, my goodness.
Somebody has that job. Somebody has to scroll through every dick pic.
Somebody, yes.
Wasn't that kind of addressed in Silicon Valley this last season, where Dinesh had to go through like all the pictures, whether it's a dick or a hot dog?
Yep. For Jin Yang's app that they sold to Periscope to recognize dicks.
So good. Jin Yang! I need a shirt that just has that in all capital letters with an exclamation point. That'd be good.
It just says, not a hot dog.
Not a hot dog. All right. Let's move on. I assume you guys have both seen the latest episode of Game of Thrones.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Game of Thrones this season. Oh, my God. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. We just assume you've seen the show already, this episode. That was pretty sad. I gotta admit, I could see a million people dying like humans, but when that dragon went down, that was some sad shit. What do you think?
I don't know. I wouldn't say. I mean, I know it's supposed to be sad, but I guess I didn't really have that much of an emotional connection to the terrifying dragon beast.
Oh, it's. But I mean, all right. So let's go through the key points. The fight scenes were awesome, and hearing all those guys like the dog and Jon Snow, and the head of the Wildlings, the hound. That's what I meant. Sorry, the dog, the hound. It was funny to hear them like kind of give each other shit and joke on their way to find the White Walker.
The stuff between the Hound and Tormund was great.
Oh, so good. So funny. So funny. But what did you think about that battle scene?
The one between all the walkers and the guys on the island?
Yeah.
Oh, it was great, man. The whole episode was fantastic. I think let's also not miss the fact that the scene between them and the zombie polar bear was awesome. That was so good.
I like how that dude survived the zombie polar bear attack.
And then got killed again.
Yeah. Well, he was killed like 7 or 8 times or something like that?
I think that was the other one. That was the guy with the flaming sword, which I don't know
his
name.
In the eye patch.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
He was the one that got kept on getting brought back to life. And then the Alky, Game of Thrones alcoholic. Yeah. I was not expecting. I was kind of bummed when he died because he's a really cool character.
Yeah,
I cared more about him dying than the dragon. Definitely,
he's not the bravest. He's just the drunkest, which was a great line.
That was so good.
Yeah,
I was expecting a dragon to die. Like when she flew off with all three of them, the first thing I was like, oh man, one of those dragons is gonna die.
That's exactly what I said to Lauren, too. I was like, one of those dragons is gonna get killed. And we're gonna have a fucking zombie dragon. You watch.
Well, what's sad about it, I mean, is that we've literally seen those dragons born, be babies, be kind of like adolescent and teenagers and fully grown now. And, oh, it's just horrifying. Just like, it bled like a motherfucker. And just to see it slip, oh, that was so sad. I was just like, oh, man, that sucks.
It does, especially when you think about what effect that dragon will be able to have on the fucking ice wall.
Well, so, you know, at the end of the episode, you saw the White Walker, you know, do his touchy-feely thing and turn the dragon into a White Walker dragon, which, that's going to be tough. Going to be tough.
It's going to be a pro, because we saw how much trouble the White Walker polar bear gave them.
Yeah, so, dude, it was crazy. No, it was such a good episode. So what's coming up for the end of this season? we have Jon Snow, we have Daenerys, and we have Cersei going to meet and figure out if they're all going to fight together the dead, or if Cersei's going to, you know, fuck them over. What do you think is going to happen? How do you think this is going to go? And also, do you actually think Cersei's pregnant, or do you think she's going to fuck over Jaime?
I'm not sure on whether she's pregnant or not. I really think that's kind of up in the air. But I'm 90% sure that she's going to fuck, you know, Jon and Daenerys over. There's no way that she's just going to be like, oh, yeah, you're right. I'll be a good guy for a little bit and let's go fight the White Walkers. I mean, she may agree to that, but I'm sure she's going to have some nasty plan up her sleeve.
Jeremy?
There's a couple ways I can see it going. I wouldn't be surprised if the last kind of season they do focuses more just on, like, the war with the White Walkers. And so I could kind of see them. I wouldn't be surprised if when they go to meet Cersei that they set it up to where she tries to just wipe them all out right there, basically sets a trap. And I wouldn't be surprised if Cersei actually gets killed in this next episode, and where they kind of like wrap up that storyline. And then that way next season is just all about them fighting the White Walkers.
I mean, I think everybody wants to see Cersei die for sure, but I think there's still more to her. Like, I still think, like, with her telling Jaime she's pregnant, but then whispering to her, don't ever betray me again. So I really think that my gut is that she's not pregnant. She's fucking with Jaime to kill him. And Jaime's going to be the only one to kill her. I think Jaime's going to kill her or Tyrion. But I think
it's going to be Jaime.
You think it'll be Jaime? And I think,
yeah.
I think that'll happen in the final episodes, because I think you still need Cersei and the White Walker King as your two main villains, basically, since you don't have Joffrey and you don't have Ramsay Bolton anymore. But now you kind of have Peter Baelish, Littlefinger, who's kind of playing both sides here, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I feel like they're going to have to unleash the Littlefinger kind of shit at some point, because they've been building him up as being this evil mastermind the whole time and being this unseen force behind all the movement that we're seeing. But we've only got, what, 6 episodes left or 7 episodes left if you count this last episode and next season.
Yeah.
And he still really hasn't revealed what his strategy is or what his ultimate plan is. So they're going to have to illuminate that sooner.
I mean,
I think
he wants the Iron Throne for sure, or just to be,
no doubt,
be a part or be the right hand of somebody who does do
that. No, he wants to be in power. He doesn't want to be helping anybody and be in power. He wants to be in charge, I think.
So, well, I mean, he's definitely playing Arya and Sansa against one another, but I don't know. I've heard from people who literally hate Arya right now, and I don't get it.
Well, I don't get it either. I think Sansa's clearly more of the bad guy in the situation.
We haven't seen Sansa. I mean, she's been through a lot of shit, so is Arya, but Arya's like the fighter, and Sansa, I think Sansa can be a fighter, but she's not yet. And then Bran does nothing but look into the future. I'm just tired of him.
That's because Bran is the Night King.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. So what do you think for this last episode of Game of Thrones, this upcoming one? What do you think's going to happen? Who's going to die? Because they haven't really killed a lot of people yet, like big people yet this season.
I think that, what was it, Jeremy, you said that you think that she's going to set a trap and she may actually die in this next episode?
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me, because, I mean, if you look at, like, what did you say? We have, like, how many episodes? We have 8 episodes left after this.
I think that the next one, it's just going to be the same length that this season was. And then the next,
that's
the same
8 episodes,
thing.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, episodes? I think so.
So, like, you have such a big cast of Game of Thrones. And look at all those storylines we just talked about, where you have the Sansa stuff. You've got the Arya stuff. You've got the Littlefinger stuff. You know, you have the whole big war against, Frosty the Snowman. Right. you got all this stuff, and I feel like, you know, the thing you don't want to do is, you've been building to this huge war. You don't want to, like, take a bunch of time with all this other stuff and then have to resolve the whole war in, like, 2 episodes.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say, I actually agree with that. I hadn't really thought of that. Excuse me, but what you're saying makes total sense.
Because, you know, you don't want it to be like fucking Return of the King, where it's like you took these, you know, these three gigantic movies, and then all of a sudden you have to wrap up like a ton of shit in 5 minutes.
Well, I'll tell you this. I will agree with you. It depends, because Cersei's kind of been out of the limelight in the last few episodes. If Cersei gets a lot of screen time this next episode, I can see it happening. But if she only just has a scene or so,
yeah,
I don't see it happening. And
or they could have been kind of weaning her off of the show. You know what I'm saying? If they give her less and less screen time, that can be kind of their way of making her less of a focal point. So when they kill her off, it's not a big void in the show.
Well, I think it's going to come down to, I think, the next season. Because she is on the Iron Throne, nobody else. And so you have Jon Snow, which looks to have pledged allegiance to Daenerys. And you have maybe Littlefinger and whoever else going to that Iron Throne. So she's not going to go lightly. And if there's nobody on the Iron Throne, was that Jaime? Is Jaime the next in line? I mean, Jaime?
No, if Cersei goes down, I'm sure the only reason they would do that is to make it so they could have all the living humans unite against the White Walkers.
Okay.
So they could be more of a focused story point. Like, okay, now we're just going to be doing... But we also have to deal with the whole freaking Euron Greyjoy thing. The Greyjoy stuff hasn't been touched in an episode or two. And that's a whole big thing also.
Yeah. That might come...
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, who knows where they're going with all of it. But I wouldn't be surprised if nothing else, if we got some mountain action in this next episode.
Oh, God.
I think you're going to.
It's going to be badass. See,
I was half expecting them to go into King's Landing in this next episode to meet with her. And then that's when you were going to start seeing Greyjoy's there. You know, he's got Theon's sister. Yeah. So I figured they were going to like kind of wrap some of that stuff up. Like, he's going to be there. You know, he'll be there with Cersei and everything else.
Cool.
Well, we can hope. I'm sure it's going to be great one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. Well, Game of Thrones talk. We will be talking about it next week for sure after the crazy next episode, but I'm looking forward to it. Let's move into some fun stuff now. Let's talk. One of you had the idea for there's so many remakes and reboots and revamps going on of movies that have already been made, whatever. What about one that hasn't? Like, let's talk about one that we want to see done or that should be done. You know, like, I mean, nobody need to fucking reboot Ghostbusters. Fuck it. What movies want to get made, and what actors should be in it, and what director should make it? Jeremy, this was your idea, right?
It was.
So does that sum it up, what you were thinking?
Yeah, well, for me it was, you know, like, let's say you had an adaptation of anything from a comic book, video game, whatever, that you know, was not ideal, you know, or even sucked. But, you know, what's one that you would like to see remade? And for me, it was less about, like, what actors I wanted to see in it. It was more, like, who I wanted to have kind of making the movie and what I would like to see in that regard.
All right, cool. Cool. All right. Well, who goes first?
Well, let's let the creator of the idea go first.
All right.
So, and what actually gave me the idea was because I was watching this excellent movie last night. But, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Aha!
I would like to see that remade by Guillermo del Toro, but with a, like, Hellboy or Hellboy 2 budget.
Right on.
So, I mean, that sounds awesome. When did the first one come out? I'm trying to remember that.
The first Hellboy?
No, the first League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
There's only one.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, well, the original...
It was so good they couldn't make a second one.
No, I mean, like, when did it come out, though? Was it, like, early 2000s, or
I would say it's like 2003 or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Okay, somewhere around there.
So you watched it last night. Mm-hmm. How does it hold up?
I watched about 30 minutes of it. So you didn't really get to get into a lot of, you know, where it kind of gets a little wheels off. We really only got to like the beginning part where, you know, you see Connery as Quartermain in Africa, and he has his like little fight scene in his, you know, in his lodge. And that's pretty good. You know, Connery is always good for a fight scene. Right. That's kind of about as far as I got into it.
There is so much to love about that movie.
Mm-hmm.
There really is. There's a lot to hate, but there's also a lot to love.
Yeah.
It's fine.
That movie was what gave me the idea for both this segment and then another one that we're going to do in a minute.
All right. I like that. All right. Who goes next? I like this. It looks true. I would watch that if it was Guillermo del Toro for sure.
All right, I've got two for my list here.
Okay.
I would like to see Peter Jackson remake the Hobbit movies.
Remake his own fucking movies? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I want to see him remake them without outside fuckery. Outside fuckery and bullshit. I would like to see him make them with the same loving attention that he gave the Lord of the Rings movies. I would like to see just the Hobbit movies with the same production quality as the Lord of the Rings movies, because the Hobbit movies had everything required to be fantastic, and they sucked so hard.
So it's interesting.
I agree with that.
It's interesting you bring that up, because Guillermo del Toro was originally supposed to direct the Hobbit movies.
And he fucked with those movies, man. I believe that a large reason those movies sucked was because of him.
What?
Well, didn't he backed out, though, like...
Yeah, he backed...
Kind of late. Yeah. But he backed out because the kid... The son of the writer dude whose name I can't remember, and Josie will love hearing that later, blanking on his name, but the son, like, they were getting ready to make it, and then the son was like, no, and then, like, was holding out for more money, and from what I remember, like, the process of him holding out and stalling threw off Del Toro's schedule, and so Del Toro had to back out, and then Peter Jackson jumped in, basically at a point when it was like kind of late in the game, so he just kind of had to go a little wheels off with it.
Yeah, I think.
But he heavily had worked on the screenplay,
right?
Well, and the screenplay was horrendous. That's one of the biggest problems with that movie, is that it's just a fucking mess of a screenplay.
Well, I don't think that was Guillermo's fault. I think that was Warner Brothers. I think originally it was supposed to be just two movies, but then Warner Brothers wanted to do the same thing with Lord of the Rings, release three. And the Hobbit book is very small. It's like 350 pages, basically. So they had to go.
But they pulled from the Silmarillion. It wasn't just the Hobbit book. So they had plenty of material where they could have made a really great three-film trilogy. They could have done that. No problem.
No.
But if we look at Pacific Rim, we'll see that there's another fucking horrible. And that movie has all the same problems that the Hobbit movies have. Too much CGI. No life in any of the scenes, no weight to any of the things that happen. That's the big problem with those movies, is that it's the exact opposite of Lord of the Rings.
I said the same thing about the prequels to Star Wars. I say the same thing.
That is the problem with the prequels of Star Wars. I mean, those movies are far inferior to the original trilogy. Will I still watch them and enjoy them? Yeah, absolutely. But, so I think that's the problem with the Hobbit movies, is that they're just, it's the exact opposite of what you felt when you watched Lord of the Rings movies.
Right.
Those Lord of the Rings movies had so much emotion and every character you cared about so very much. And that was just didn't feel like that at all. You know, you had all those fantastic miniatures and just everything felt so real. And yet it felt like the exact opposite in those Hobbit movies. So I would just like to see it, whether it's, you know, because of Warner Brothers or because of Del Toro or whatever. I would just like to see them remade with the same quality of Lord of the Rings.
Agreed.
And the second one is, we really need to have Dracula Untold remade.
Dracula Untold.
The one with Luke Evans. I would like, because that movie was awful. It was so bad. So bad.
And it had potential.
It had so much potential. So I would like to see Terrence Malick remake Dracula Untold.
Do you know who Terrence Malick is?
Yeah, what do you mean, do I know who Terrence Malick is? Of course I do.
Okay, so...
All right, here's my reasoning.
Wait.
Reasoning.
I'm a huge fan of Terrence Malick, and you just blew my fucking mind.
Here's my reasoning. I know that he doesn't handle horror, but Dracula Untold didn't need to be a horror movie. It was more than anything a war movie, and a war movie with feeling. And we saw that Thin Red Line is a war movie with all kinds of feeling, and he did a fantastic job with that. If we could see Dracula Untold with all of the emotional weight and drama that we got in the Thin Red Line, or you know, any of his other movies that he's done, it would be amazing.
Wait a second. What was the last Terrence Malick movie you've seen?
What was the one with Brad Pitt?
Tree of Life.
That was the one.
Okay, so he's made three more after that. To the Wonder, Song to Song, and Knight of Cups. Now, I love Tree of Life. I loved it. If you've seen the other three movies, they're a lot like that, where it's really a very visual movie with very, very, very little dialogue or just the character narrating their feelings over it. His visual style is uncanny, amazing, magnificent, everything. Oh, man.
Can you imagine how that would be with a Dracula war movie?
I mean, a Dracula war movie. So, I mean, his war movie was definitely not like Tree of Life at all.
No, totally different.
Tree of Life is a very new style for him. Oh, my God. I really want you to watch Song to Song, Jonathan, because it's...
I've been meaning to watch all of his new movies that have come out. Like, I want to watch Knight of Cups and Song to Song and all of those.
Okay.
Because I love every movie of his that I've seen.
Okay, so I've reviewed all of those, and I just released the review of the 4K of Song to Song, which is kind of like Tree of Life, but set to the Austin music scene. But again, it's very little. Like I said, you blew my fucking mind. I'm speechless. Like, I do want to see this. I don't know how it's going to work, but goddamn it, I want to see.
So you already said it. You said that he has a great visual style, which is what that film needs. It needs to have a unique. And I think that if he just let himself go to a dark place, we'd see a whole new side of Terrence Malick that we haven't really seen yet. And it would be so, so good. So just let him get dark with it. Let him get a little creepy if he wants to go that way. But and have not too much dialogue, because that was one of the things that really burnt me out on this last movie, is just too much drama, too much conversation. When in reality, if we just had, I don't know, some fantastic actor playing Dracula and doing his own narration for the events that unfolded that made him what he was, man, it would be so good.
All right. I like this. I'm going to post about this after this podcast on social media, because I know some people who love and hate Terrence Malick, so I hope it gets a little bit of traction. It would be awesome.
All right. We'll see what the world thinks.
I like this. Blew my fucking mind, man.
And it doesn't even need to be Dracula Untold. I would just like to see Terrence Malick make a Dracula movie or a vampire movie, one of the two.
Dracula Dead and Loving It?
Not that one.
Not the Mel Brooks one. All righty.
That's what I actually thought of when you first said that.
Leslie Nielsen back from the grave. All right. So I guess y'all want to hear mine? Want to hear mine?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I guess.
So I have two. I did a book and a movie. The book that has never been adapted before, which I really love this book, it's called Carter Beats the Devil. And it is an amazing book. I highly recommend you buying it and reading it. It is by author David Allen Gold. Carter Beats the Devil is kind of a fictional magician movie, but has a lot of true history in it. So basically, in the book, it follows this magician named Carter. And he performs a magic show for the President of the United States, which is very, very badass. And he actually invites Warren G. Harding, the President of the United States, to this magic show. And he does an incredible illusion and magic and everything. And he brings the president up on stage and proceeds to chop the president into pieces, cuts off his head, feeds him to a lion. And then the trick is when the everything's unveiled, the president is back to good health and not chopped up to bits or anything like that. Everybody loves the show, but 2 hours later, the president ends up dead. And Carter, the magician, is on a whirlwind of crazy shit from then on. It is a really cool book, and I think it would be an awesome, awesome movie to make. What is that? Does that sound like a cool story?
Yeah, count me in.
Highly recommend it. Recommend reading it. It's a really cool, but I think a really cool director to make this would be Paul Thomas Anderson, the guy who did Boogie Nights and The Master and There Will Be Blood. I think it would be awesome. Also, I would or the Coen brothers, one of those two. But yeah, I think it's a really cool one, and it's never been done. I think it should be. I think it would be really cool to see this. And my
Nicolas Cage plays the magician, right?
Oh my God, I hope so. I love Nicolas Cage. He needs the money. He needs the money. And as far as movie remakes go, there's a really cool Western movie called The Great Silence. It's an Italian Western movie. And it's super, super violent and about revenge. And it's called The Great Silence. If you've never, ever heard of it, seriously, seek it out. It is directed by Sergio Corbucci. And it's about a man going on a revenge after people killed his wife. So it is so badass, and I would love...
Which is a very unique script for a Western movie.
Yeah, exactly, right?
I mean, a plot. Very unique plot.
Yeah.
Very unusual.
Very unusual. No, but I think it's really cool, and...
Haven't they remade that movie, 20 times already?
But not like this, though. Not like this. I mean, they've made versions of this, but a person who I would really, really love to see... really love to see do this would be Sam Raimi. I would love to see him do another Western. He did a great Western with The Quick and the Dead, but I would like him to see him do this, though.
Are we sure that was a great Western?
It wasn't the best Western, but aha, joke. Okay. but no, I would like him to see him do that again and focus not on a whole bunch of characters, but maybe two characters in this movie. It would be really cool, and I think it would be awesome. I don't know. That's me.
Right on.
That's me. That's me. those are my two suggestions. But yeah, let us know if you have a suggestion of a remake that hasn't been done yet of a book or a comic or movie or TV show. We'd love to hear it. And our last segment of the day is, Jeremy, you had this idea as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Why don't you explain it to everybody?
Basically, actors that you like to watch in fight scenes. I got it when just thought of the idea right after the the remake idea while I was watching League of Extraordinary Gentlemen last night. And I was watching Connery punch people, and I was like, man, he's good at that.
All right.
I was like, that's really satisfying to watch. And I was just kind of listening to some of the other dudes, Harrison Ford and Indiana Jones. And we talked frequently about Keanu Reeves and Lawrence Fishburne and their fight scenes and how satisfying that is.
Yeah.
So,
all right. So, is there a specific fight scenes that you really love to watch from movies? Any that come to the top of your head?
I enjoy probably one of my favorites is still the Morpheus Neo fight scene in the first Matrix.
That is a pretty good one in that little dojo. Yep. It was pretty cool.
I feel like all the other fight scenes in the Matrix have to live up to that fight scene.
All right. All right. Cool. So who do you like to see in there?
Oh, I just pretty much gave my list.
All right. So
it was Ford, Sean Connery, Keanu Reeves, Lawrence Fishburne.
Yep. Those are some of the faves off the top of my head.
In a Matrix dojo fighting. I like it.
What about you, Kluger? Who you got?
All right, so I'm going to start out with some of my favorite fight scenes, and I have to mention the Raid and the Raid 2. Pretty much all those fight scenes are amazing. Also, Old Boy, the scene with him with the hammer and the one-shot tracking, which is awesome. But I must say, the person I really love seeing fight who doesn't get a lot of screen time, or hopefully it's done really well, is Wesley Snipes. That dude is a badass martial artist, and I want him to do more because he is so good on screen when he's doing it. And I would have to say Wesley Snipes. He is badass.
Right on.
Oh, and a special shout out to Tony Jaa, the Thai guy from Ong Bak and Tom Yum Goong.
Oh yeah,
that dude's a badass too.
He was on my list for sure.
All right, so those two for sure.
All right, so Tony Jaa was definitely on my list, and I'm gonna say him and Jackie Chan and Bruce Lee. I love watching those guys fight, especially Jackie Chan. I think Jackie Chan might be my favorite of the three. There's just such a good rhythm to every one of his fights that he does, and he's so brilliant at his craft. You know what I mean? So that, and of course, like Jeremy said, you know, watching Harrison Ford, Keanu Reeves, Lawrence Fishburne, all those guys are fantastic. I also love Bruce Willis in all the Die Hard movies, dude. All those fight scenes, you know, where he's just tackling guys down the stairs and cussing them out the whole time and talking shit. I love every scene in Die Hard 1 through 3. Those are all just fantastic movies.
Yeah, those are pretty good.
Maybe the best movies ever made besides Star Wars.
That's true. And his fight scene in Red with Carl Urban is awesome.
Yeah, that's a fantastic fight scene. That's probably one of the best fight scenes of the last 10 years outside of John Wick.
Yeah,
I totally agree.
And Casino Royale. But yeah, so those are fantastic. I also, I really, really liked the Chris Evans fight scenes in Winter Soldier.
Yeah, those are all good.
Every one of those fight scenes is just fantastic. Such good choreography. I know that's not him doing it necessarily, but just the scenes in those movies, those were just so good.
Well, in John Wick 1 and 2, they really did such a good job with the fight scenes, because a lot of people like to like really fast cut the fight scenes, and kind of like Jason Bourne or something like that. You can't really get a sense of being in there, but with something like John Wick, you're there and you get to see them perform their skills, like without fast cuts. And I love that aspect of it.
Absolutely. So, well, that's the difference is that with the John Wick movies, Keanu Reeves is doing it.
Yeah.
So you don't have to have the fast cuts to hide the fact that it's not really your main actor doing it.
Correct.
You can actually just hang out and watch him be fantastic. And that's what makes it so, so damn good.
I like it a lot.
Russell Crowe was pretty great in The Gladiator.
He was. That was a really good one, too. Not quite as, you know, not the prowess or the finesse that you see in some of these other guys, but just a good, powerful, you know, you just got it was just brute force, really, is what just you were getting.
Visceral
in that.
And brutal.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Well, I like it. I like it a lot.
Are you guys Bruce Lee fans? Nobody's mentioned Bruce Lee but me in this stuff. How can you talk about greatest fight choreographers and not mention Bruce Lee?
Oh.
I was leaving that to you.
I love Bruce Lee, man. Did you not? I reviewed the whole Bruce Lee movie collection. Loved it. Must own. He's a badass. Of course. Of course, man. What you saying? Oh, who would win? Bruce Lee, Wesley Snipes, or Harrison Ford?
Bruce Lee.
Is this a real question?
Tony Jaa or Bruce Lee?
If it was Tony Jaa versus Bruce Lee, I would still say Bruce Lee, but it would be much, 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 much closer contest. Harrison Ford and Wesley Snipes would be killed in about 10 seconds, probably, with Bruce Lee. Those guys make it look cool in action movies.
That's a generous 10 seconds.
Yeah, those guys make it look cool in action movies, but they're not, you know, they're not really martial artists.
I guess so.
Oh, you know what? We also got to mention, speaking of Black Dynamite.
Michael J. White.
Michael J. White is a bad motherfucker to watch in fight scenes, dude, because he's a real martial artist and he knows his shit and he makes it look damn good.
So is Wesley Snipes. Wesley Snipes is a real one.
Is he a master? I mean,
yes.
I don't know. He's got a yellow belt.
I have to look it up, but I know he's a real martial artist. I know Michael Jai White is too. He is a
It's got the two little white stripes on it, so it's like second degree. So he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, Wesley Snipes, I don't know what his level of mastery is. I'm not going to talk too much shit because I really don't know. But I know that Michael Jai White is serious. He's not fucking around. His skill level is really, really elite.
Okay, so he has been training martial arts since the age of 12, earning a fifth degree black belt in Shotokan karate and a second degree black belt in Hapkido.
Okay, so he knows his shit.
He is a badass. What are you talking
about? This is Wesley Snipes you're talking about?
Yeah, Wesley Snipes. I'm reading it right now. He trained at the USA Shaolin Temple in Kung Fu and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and kickboxing as well.
Right on.
Dude.
Fifth degree black belt is serious business.
Dude, yeah. Oh man. Can we get a Wesley Snipes and Michael Jai White fight on screen? Like, them face off. I want them to enter the WWE ring and just have a match. It would be so amazing. Oh my God.
I think that it would be way too good for WWE match, my friend.
No way. I mean, them two facing off and, like, you know, having a choreographed type of thing. Oh, that would be so good. Oh, I love it. It would be so amazing.
I think we definitely need to see more Michael Jai White stuff out there. He just hasn't done a whole lot lately, unfortunately.
Yeah, he I mean, he had success with Black Dynamite, and they've only done, I think, one season of the cartoon show on Adult Swim, which is awesome.
But I mean, like, I feel like that's a guy that really should have been more famous than he was. I mean, I would have loved to see him as Luke Cage.
Well, I mean, his resume, he has, I mean, he's been in 90 films and TV shows.
Oh, I know he's been in a lot, but he doesn't have the superstar status that I think he deserves. He's a good actor. He's a fantastic fighter and fight choreographer. I think he deserves to be a much higher level star than he is.
Well, we'll see. He has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He has 7 movies coming out between now and next year. So,
and they're all straight to video, right?
He has Making a Killing, Cops and Robbers, Triple Threat, Accident Man, Primer, Headshot, and Dragged Across Concrete.
So these are all straight to Netflix titles.
I want to say that in the movie Dragged Across Concrete, he plays a character named Biscuit. That is what it says according to IMDb.
He usually makes a couple appearances on Arrow each season as Bronze Tiger.
Oh, wait. Uh-huh. Oh, my gosh. So this movie, Dragged Across Concrete, which comes out in 2018, it stars Mel Gibson, Jennifer Carpenter, Vince Vaughn, and Michael Jai White.
What a weird cast.
It says the script centers on two policemen, an old timer, the other his volatile younger partner, which sounds like Lethal Weapon, who find themselves suspended when a video of their strong arm tactics. What are they remaking it with Vince Vaughn and Mel Gibson?
It's Lethal Weapon, except Mel Gibson is the one that's too old for this shit.
I don't get it. I'm just finding out about this. Ugh. Well, Michael Jai White's in it, and he has top billing, so I'm very excited.
Maybe that's a code name for the next Lethal Weapon movie. And maybe it's going to be actual Mel Gibson's character with, like, his partner's son, and that's going to be Michael Jai White or something along those lines.
Yeah, Danny Glover's son, Michael Jai White.
Yeah, dude, maybe that's a code. Maybe it's all just a code for the Lethal Weapon, what is it, 5? It'd be Lethal Weapon 5? Dude, that's what's happening. Mark my words.
Wow. Oh my God. I'm so excited. Biscuit. Oh, so good. All right, good deal. Let's end on Biscuit. We love you, Michael Jai White. We are Mediocrity Podcast. Find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio under the Multimedia Men banner. We're here every week. Jonathan Atterbury, Jeremy Magert, find them on Twitter and Instagram. And yeah, we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening, guys and girls and dogs and cats.